On a Tuesday, we like to talk about some of the think programming you can find right here on 2SER. We've got shows that encourage you to think about health, think about your digital futures, and the one we're talking about today, Think Sustainability. Miles Herbert is the host of Think Sustainability. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. How are you going?
I'm very good, thank you. You want to talk a little bit about, I guess, citizen science?
Yeah, I've kind of been doing research on it all week and just talking to different citizen scientists, different scientists about this world of citizen science and what's happening with it in Australia.
I guess let's define it first. What do we mean when we say citizen science?
Well, I think the biggest part of citizen science is really data collection, right? So it's everyday Australian citizens, amateurs going out and collecting data and then giving that to scientists. And that might look like pictures, that might look like, you know, defining species, just collecting information about the things in your backyard. It honestly, it can really mean anything.
I think one of the famous ones that we've seen in Sydney is, of course, the data collection around the weedy sea dragon, which provided huge insights into that particular species, all from divers just taking a photo or people who just happen to see one grabbing a shot.
Yeah, like the species like the weedy sea dragon, it's something we don't have a lot of information on or previously didn't. And that's kind of where the citizen scientist comes in. There's another one called Hollows as Homes. I don't know if you've heard about that.
I have not. No.
It's basically just asking the public to look at the trees in your backyard and look what birds are in there, look what critters are in there. Stuff like that. I talked to this amazing woman in South Australia who studies microbats. And, you know, there's some 70 species of microbats in Australia. They're extremely misunderstood because no one really knows anything about them. They travel at night. They're extremely small. Sometimes they're mistaken as birds. And she said this amazing thing to me where she said, if you're at night and something flies over your head and you don't know what it is, it's probably a microbat.
Okay, well, that's going to keep me up at night. And I like bats, and that's going to bother me.
Yeah, honestly. And, well, it sent me down this rabbit hole of, like, YouTube videos of microbats, and they're so cute. Like,
they really are cute.
Yeah, they really are cute. But, yeah, and so there's this other part of citizen science as well where, you know, there's been a tightening of purse strings when it comes to science and science research. And a lot of these scientists don't have outlets to do the research they want and collect the data they want. And they're turning to citizen scientists to help do that. And I have a grab for you if you want to play it. But before we play, I should let you know, we recorded at the Sydney Harbour, looking over the Sydney Harbour at the Sydney Institute of Marine Science. It's an absolutely beautiful spot. This professor, John Turnbull from the University of New South Wales, had just gotten done with a dive. And yeah, we have a little interruption, so we'll play it for you.
Magpie getting fed. So I started to reduce the amount of time I was magpie.
Go away. Go away. Go and feed yourself somewhere else.
It's the baby getting fed.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll try again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say one's better than the other. I would say that the two of them need each other. You know, citizen scientists need scientists to be involved because we need to make sure that the projects are well designed and will go somewhere. Scientists need citizen scientists because there just aren't enough science hours in the day to gather the data that you need to draw conclusions. So if you team up with citizen scientists and you might have 5 or 10 people helping you, you've now got 10 times the data. You can reach a conclusion in a few months, perhaps, rather than maybe 3 years of your time.
Not enough interviews get interrupted by baby magpies, I've got to say that.
I totally agree. I mean, I spent the day out at Chowder Bay, and it was beautiful, it was amazing. It's much better than this studio, I'll have to say that. No offense to 2SER. But yeah, it was insane. The mother was just feeding the young right in front of us, and it was the best way to have an interview interrupted, definitely, yeah.
Now, I think a few of the scientists I've talked to who make good use of citizen science have said that actually some of what's brought this to the fore is the fact that nearly every one of us carries what would have been back in the day an incredibly expensive scientific instrument just around in our pockets, just called a mobile phone.
Totally, yeah. The technology aspect of it that has allowed us to document and to discover, yeah, it's unbelievable. Isn't it crazy?
GPS data, incredibly high-res photography, audio if you want it. It's actually quite amazing.
It is, yeah. John Turnbull, the guy we just heard from, he started by just taking pictures of the reef. And, you know, just last month he said over 2 million people had started looking at his photos. And these had photos that had, you know, would have never been seen before. And he went into this thing about the ocean, right, where if we see litter on the street, we can see that litter. We can see that the world around us is becoming contaminated. But the ocean, you know, it looks blue.
Yeah.
So we might know that there's plastic in the ocean. We might know that we're having species loss in our waters. But because we can't really see it, we don't necessarily connect with it. It wasn't really until we saw all those pictures of that giant plastic island in the middle of the ocean where we're like, wow, our plastic is having this effect. So what he wanted to do as a citizen scientist is just go down there and take photos on his phone, you know, and document this stuff.
Absolutely amazing. And the fact that there are now fora for people to get in involved in that is incredible. When can people listen in on this episode?
We are Sundays at 11 o'clock live and Wednesday nights at 6:30. I always get this wrong because I'm a podcast listener. And if you're a podcast listener as well, it'll jump up in your feed on Monday. That's Think Sustainability on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. So just search Think Sustainability. Just type it in your podcast app, Google, hit us up, Think Sustainability 2SER.
And do make sure you're leaving a rating and a review. It helps people find it. It's great for us. It's not just for our ego.
It helps people find the shows.
Yeah.
And it's not just my show. There's really great programs. The Think programs on 2SER are great and everyone should listen.
Everyone should. Miles, thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers.
All right.